was on the Tuesday morning after our Easter celebration that I went to our regular Tuesday morning prayer breakfast time, and Bob Gore Sr. and I got into a conversation about our Easter celebration. Now, a lot of the things that we talk about on Tuesday mornings at prayer breakfast are not pulpit-worthy material. But this happened to be that this conversation was one that led to a discussion about, Bob said to me, he said, Bobby, I could not get out of my mind for that day. And I talked about it in my Sunday school class, and just it rang in my mind over and over again. He is alive. And he said, I'm not sure we take that statement as seriously as we should. He is alive. Because of that conversation, I began to think about, in my own mind, do we take that as seriously as we should? Not only do we take it as seriously as we should, but do we believe that statement, He is alive? So I've chosen for us today to give some thought to that. And have chosen the verses that Becky read for us today, and I want to read again from the 24th chapter of Luke for us to focus on today as we think about He is alive. Beginning reading there at that first verse. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised." Then they remembered his words. May God bless the reading and the hearing, and particularly the understanding today of His holy word. We look again at that passage that we talk about at Easter, different times choosing it out of the different gospels, at what really took place on that morning when they approached the tomb. Today we focus on a group of women that are going to prepare the body properly for its long-term burial. Now, if we didn't read the scripture as a whole, if we didn't look ahead, we might have the question that comes to our mind that says, how is it that these women would know where Jesus was buried? And how is it that they didn't know that the body had been not properly prepared for its burial? Well, in the 23rd chapter, we find that scripture gives us that, as we see in that place where these women, so faithful to the ministry of Jesus, the scripture even says they were the ones that followed him from his ministry in Galilee and were there around him at the time of his crucifixion. They actually followed Joseph of Arimathea, who had asked Pilate for the body of Christ, had him taken down off the cross and put him in an unoccupied, unused tomb that Joseph owned. The scripture tells us that they followed him to that gravesite, saw where he was placed, and also were able to see that the body did not have time to be properly prepared. So these women are on their way that day to make sure that the right thing is done for their Lord and Savior Jesus. Now we know they knew those things, the location of the tomb and that the body needed to be properly prepared. There were a couple of things they did not know that other places in Scripture we find out. Because the leaders of the Pharisees also had been listening over time to what Jesus was saying about his death and then his eventual resurrection, they were worried that the disciples may pull off some sleight of hand. They may steal Jesus' body from this tomb and then claim that he had been resurrected. So after he has been buried, they go and they complain to Pilate, who says, "Take a group of guards and go seal the tomb and place them there so that this cannot happen." These ladies who have left the tomb have no idea that the place they are going, hopefully to roll away the stone or to get some help in doing that, they have no idea that that tomb has been sealed. And they also have no idea that there has been placed a guard there so that they could not get to the body if they wanted to. If they had known those two things, the likelihood of them going on this morning to accomplish what they went for would have been very minuscule. But they went with their purpose in mind. They arrive at the spot and see that the stone is already rolled away. They go in expecting in that tomb to find Jesus laying there so that they might be able to do what they've come to do, to properly prepare his body, and instead they are confronted by, the scripture says, two men that are in gleaming white clothing. It does not say in the scripture that they are angels, but they are in their estimation someone other than someone they would usually encounter. They are, as we would be, afraid. They bow down and begin to, in fear, not know what would happen, to which these two men say to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." He calls for them, this man, to remember what they had been told about what would happen. As Jesus told those followers and disciples of his what would happen, that he would have to be handed over to men, that he would be crucified, but that on that third day he would be resurrected. And as they hear those words, they are reminded of what Jesus has said, and they come to the realization, this is a confirmation of what Jesus promised us would happen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Now, I think the reality for us as Christians oftentimes is if we will let ourselves be honest enough with us, that we still find ourselves looking for Jesus not among the living but among the dead. Our remembrance of who Jesus is not an active, living remembrance of what Jesus is currently doing. We are simply confined to what he did while he was here, and his actions are listed in Scripture. We have to come to a realization. Do we believe that Jesus Christ really is alive? Or do we still have him confined simply with what we know of him in the words of Scripture, a history not a current story of what he is doing actively in the world. Is our understanding of Jesus based on simply what we see in Scripture, or are we living with him? Are we seeing the evidence that he is alive in the world in which we live? Is the full and total and complete revelation of Jesus Christ, did it end in the words of Scripture, or does it continue because he is actively involved in the lives of his people today in the world? And are we learning from him as he is involved in the world, and we see him and we react to him and we feel him in our lives? Or is he simply a reaction to the historical confirmation of who he was? Do we simply talk in terms of what he did? Or are we talking in terms of what he is doing? And how we answer that question makes all the difference in how we approach a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. If all that he wanted to accomplish was done in the 33 years in which he lived, and we simply have a history of that, then we recognize the miraculous that he did then. We may believe what Scripture says about what he was doing in the lives of people. But if he is confined to that 33-year period of time, he no longer is actively involved in making a difference in our world and our lives and doing the miraculous currently. I think too often, if we are not careful, we still have Jesus confined to the grave and not alive, not living, not active, not involved in changing the world. And you say, Bobby, what's the evidence that he's alive? Give me something that's going on, something that's happening that makes me know that he's alive. My friends, that living is in you and in me. That's how he's chosen to continue to be active in the world. That's through us. That's through the love and the compassion and the concern and the care for others. That's the sharing of the gospel message. That's the belief that Jesus is alive and active, working in you, and you have an ongoing relationship with him that you can tell people about because it is real. And he is working in you. And through that, you are affecting this world and his kingdom for him. He is not dead. He is alive. And if we believe that he is alive, then we have to believe what his word says about those of us who know him and have relationship with him. So I can ask you today, for those of you that have lost that mother on Mother's Day, that person is no longer with you. They knew Christ. They walked with him. They were an example for you and for him. Then do you have that person still confined in the grave, or is that person alive today with Christ? If you read this word and believe it, then that person is not dead. They are alive in the presence of Christ, and that ought to be reason for celebration and joy. if we believe that Christ is alive. Now, if we don't, if we simply say with our mouths that we believe He's alive, then no wonder we grieve like people who have no hope over those that we have lost. No wonder we have such difficult days because we don't feel the presence of a living, caring God who is actively involved in our life and is there for us. To walk with us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to lift us up, to carry us in the difficult times. No wonder we don't live with a joy that is otherworldly. If we confine Him to the grave and to history, Jesus Christ is alive. Those who have died with a relationship with Him are alive. And those of us who have relationship with Him and walk with Him one day, if the Lord tarries and does not come back before then, we too will cross over from this life to life in Christ, and we will have the confirmation as we come face to face with the living Christ and have that great homecoming reunion with those who are alive in Him. Bob Gore is absolutely correct when he says, I'm not sure we really understand the depth of the words, He is alive. Now, if you sit here in this place today and you do not feel Him in your life and in your heart, if He is not alive in you, then you need to settle that particular issue before we leave this room today. If you do not know Him as Lord and Savior, then how can you feel His presence? How can you know that He is alive? How can you feel His heartbeat in your heartbeat if you do not know Him as Lord and Savior? Then I encourage you, if you do not, today is the day you need to come face to face with Him. Let Him live in your heart and life. Let Him come alive in you. But if you are here in this place today and you have been consigning Jesus to a grave and to a history lesson and book instead of having that living experience with Him, then I say today, let God come alive in you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Recognize that He is living. And the way to do that is to be able to say, God, I want the relationship with my living Lord. I want You to make it evident to me that You are walking with me. You are there for me. Come alive in my heart, in my life. Recognize that He is living, and the way He shows the world that He is living is through you and through me. Embrace Him, the living Christ, and let the world see Him live. He is alive, and if we believe it, then people need to see Him living in you and in me. He is alive. quit looking for the living among the dead. Look for the living in life. Would you join me in prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful that You are alive, that You have relationship with us, and we need to embrace that more strongly than ever. Help us to recognize, Lord, that You have chosen to live through our hearts and lives, and that we have the opportunity to change the world for Christ if we come to the recognition that You are living. It will change us, Lord, if we recognize that. Help us to embrace it more strongly than ever. The living, life-changing Lord, Jesus Christ. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.